Almighty God, it is not by chance that each one of us are here on this, a cold November morning. We come, God, not to be seen by man, but come to worship you, come to praise you for being an awesome God, knowing that there's nothing that is impossible for you. We bring all our cares and hope, leaning and depending on an all-wise, loving Father who knows what is best for each one of us. Praying, God, that you order our steps in such a way that our life will reflect that we are your children. Praying that some way, somehow, God, you'll use this thou servant to lift the hearts and mind of these your children, to give hope where hope has begun to fade, to encourage where encouragement is needed, but remind each and every person here that they are your children, whom you love. Now, God, please, let your spirit move mightily and help us soar to the mountain to be closer to thee. For us in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Hear ye the words of God as recorded in the book of Exodus by God's servant Moses, Exodus chapter 18. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, being that in the traditional black church, the King James is considered the only Bible of any reliability. All the other versions are something that man have dreamed up, so they say. So if you don't mind, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. I begin reading at verse 13. Hear ye the words of God as recorded. Exodus 18, start reading at verse 13. And let me say up front, thank you for putting a small clock up on the wall. We preachers tend to speak and get a little long-winded. And I'm going to take my glasses off because I'm nearsighted, so I can't quite see the clock. Therefore, I should be at liberty to preach to God, tell me shut up. Hear ye the words of God as recorded. And so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another. And I make known the stature of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. Both you and the people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Verse 19. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and placing such over them, to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10. Verse 22. "And let them judge the people all the time. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so command you, then you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all he said. And Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went home. He went his way to his own land. Thus end the reading of the word of God. May God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And the subject of this is wise counsel. Have you heard the little ditty that goes, good, better, or best? Never rest until your good become better and your better become your best. Isn't it amazing how God has given each one of us different talents and gifts? And most of us is multi-talented. We have a number of things that we can do for God. But in our Christian walk, one of the struggles we have is trying to do our best at all times. And sometimes we Christians get sort of steered away in doing something that is good, but not necessarily our best. Let's stop here and look at what's going on with Moses. If you read a few verses ahead of this, you find that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has brought Moses' wife and children to Moses. And there you have a family reunion. They have a big feast. But the next day, Moses is back doing what he normally do. He's working. One of the things that threw me when I was in seminary, that right in the middle of a great theological discussion, the professor will break into some practical wisdom. I recall Dr. Keller looking at us talking about predestination and me being Baptist wrestling with that and free will. He's breaking out and saying, oh, by the way, God will bless you to be a parent. He also will bless you to be a husband. Never forget, your wife need a husband, not a pastor all the time. Never forget your children need a father, not a preacher all the time. Saying, what in the world this got to do with predestination? Okay, all right, I follow that back. Sometimes we Christians get caught up in doing what's good instead of what's best. Moses had been separated from his family a long time, and I stand before you and say to each one of you who's sitting here, one of the pitfalls about being someone called to serve God is you sometimes lose sight of the practical things that God have also called you to do. Every female cannot have the privilege of being a mom, even though it's commonplace, but everyone do not get the privilege of giving birth. Every male don't have the privilege of having a wife. Some are blessed and handsome as I am and can't help but to have one. But others, you know, it's commonplace, but there's a few who don't get that privilege. You can get so caught up in doing what God has called you to do that you can lose sight of the gift that God has given you. That beautiful spouse that he'll bless you, or that handsome spouse that he'll bless my wife with. You can get caught up in doing work for God that you forget that gift that he's given you. Isn't it amazing that when God did creation, that he made man and then he made woman before creation was over? Was it by chance that the family became the first institution that God established? There was a relationship that Adam had with God, but then he had a relationship with his wife. And that was before the church came into being. Even though you may be called to be a counselor, even though you may be called to be a preacher, if God had blessed you to be a spouse, a parent, don't lose sight of your responsibility to spend some time cultivating that relationship. Your wife needs a husband. Your husband needs his wife. And oh, by the way, don't always go back into your theological training or your counseling training and use it on your spouse. They will quickly tell you, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the person I fell in love with, that flawed individual who's not perfect, that I can love and love me just as I am. I know that your goal is to come here to be an A student, to pass and graduate number one in your class. Oh, by the way, I graduated cumma cum laude from daycare, so I'm doing good. But if you get so caught up in doing that that you lose sight of playing with your child's first steps only happen once. And if you're so busy doing what you perceive as what God has called you and lose sight of that, that's a moment you'll never catch her back. Your wife crying on your shoulder, your spouse realizing that, man, this Hebrew is killing me. What is this? What is violence? Lord, are you sure you called me for this? Being vulnerable to your spouse and let them know I need your help, because we can succeed together, but me by myself, this ain't going to work. Oh, did I drift away from my scriptures? Well, you might think so, but if you flip up, as I said, just a few verses before, you'll see where Jethro brought Moses' wife and children to him, and the very next day, Moses was right back doing what he always do. What Moses was doing was good, and what some of us will be doing for God is good, but is it the best thing that we need to be doing? And that is something you will constantly wrestle with talking to God about. God, let me be doing my very best for you. Let me don't get caught up in doing something good. Don't let me settle in doing just enough to get by. Always striving. Well, preacher, you just told me don't be striving to be an A student. You told me to spend some time with my spouse and my children. So how do I balance that? By crying out to God and showing him how to order your time. Lord, you set my priorities. You show me how to do this, because I can't do this by myself. One of the most valuable lessons I learned in my pastorate was realizing I'm just a mere man. I'm flawed, and on my best day, I will fall willfully short of what God expects of me. But when I slow down and turn to what God has put around me, that loving woman who knows more about me, and by the way, know more Hebrew than I do, she would help me accomplish what I need to do. My wife knew that every Sunday, God and my congregation expect me to stand and speak the word of God. She quietly fenced that time off. I didn't ask her to, but she did. She fixed the time off for me to study. I never realized that at a certain time my children stopped coming. Phone calls stopped coming. It never dawned on me that somebody had deliberately did that. But that's what she did. And then she did something that broke my heart. She looked at me, and my wife got some of the most beautiful brown eyes you ever want to see. She looked at me with the brown eyes and said, baby, I don't care what you think about the word of God. I want to know what thus said the Lord. That's why I fenced this time for you. For you go spend time with God. So when you open your mouth, you're not talking about what John thinks. You're talking about what thus says the Lord. Wow. Whatever God have called you to do, take time to spend it with him to make sure you're doing what it is he wants you to do. Not what man, not what you, but what he wants you to do. Wow. So here it is. The first point I want you to grasp out of this. Oh, that was just a little side nugget. I got plenty of time. The first point I want you to grasp out of this is disputes. Brothers and sisters, there always will be disputes. There's something about human beings. You put two human beings together, and it won't be long. We're going to find something we don't disagree. We don't agree on. That would be disputes. The disputes were constant. They were coming here. And it's interesting. If you read about the life of Moses, when Moses was grown and he came out, you first see him as a grown man, stepping out, and he see an Egyptian slave abusing an Egyptian taskmaster abusing an Egyptian slave. And he intervened. He killed the taskmaster. The next morning, you see him walking out, and you see two Israelite quarreling among themselves. And so he intervened. And one of them pushed him, man, who made you judge over and ruler over us? And it scared Moses so bad because he said, I know you killed the other man. You're going to kill me just like you did him. Moses fled. Isn't it interesting? You get a glimpse of what God wanted Moses to do when he was young but wasn't prepared. Sometimes we get in front of God. We think we know better than God, and we jump out and we're going to do it our way instead of doing the way God wants us to do it. And again, I say to you, and you're going to see me say it time and time again, wait on the Lord, pray and ask God to show you what it is he wants you to do it. And not only that, but God, show me how to do it. I don't know about you, when people approach me and ask me something, I get scared. People my senior come to me and say, sir, and that bothers me. But again, respect to the office that God have called me to. You're my pastor, sir. I need help. Where does the wisdom come from? It's come from the Lord. So we do like Jesus when they approach us, and we call out to him, call out to God, and ask God to give us the wisdom to answer the people when they approach to us. Not only the correct answer, but in a way that they can understand. Why would you use a 24-syllable word to someone who just have a third-grade education? You pray and ask God give you the wisdom to speak in a language that they can understand so they can comprehend what it is God wants them to do. And you do it in a way that they are receptive. You don't give to them as if you're so holy, you're so wise, and you're talking down your nose to them. No. You ask God to humble you in a such a way that they feel at ease with you. They feel they can open their heart up to you and tell you anything. And you'll be receptive. You will help them. So disputes are going to happen. And Moses found himself dealing with disputes. And he was dealing with it from morning to evening. One of the things that we need to be careful of is being wise with our time. It took an outsider looking at what Moses was doing to say, wait a minute, this is not right. You're going to wear yourself out. And oh, by the way, for you biblical scholars, I know most time when I stand in front of you from the Old Testament, yes, I love the Old Testament. It has the seedbeds of everything going on in the New Testament. But for you New Testament folks, you see, again, if you're in the black church, we'll say, that's Old Testament. Why are you talking about that? If there's nothing in the New Testament talking about it, then you're wasting my time. So for you New Testament folks, do you not recall, I think in Acts chapter 6, where there was a dispute arose among the Grecian and Hellenistic Jews, the Hebrew and Hellenistic Jews, about the widow's offering, the daily provisions. They was neglecting part of the congregation, and there was an uproar. And when it came to the apostle looked at him and said, wait a minute. We have a task that God has called us to do. Why don't you look out among you and choose some wise men to help you to deal with this? And we'll do what God has called us to do. Wow. I just stumbled into my second point, delegation. Brothers and sisters, one of the things you need to understand that you can't do everything. And I know God will bless you. You're the best thing that God ever made. You're the best preacher. You're the best therapist. There's nobody can do it as better than you. And you know it. You got it. But you can't do everything. You're not the wisest thing on the block. So you need to look out and pray that God will put God-fearing people around you to assist you to do what God has called you to do. And here, it took an outsider, someone looking in, watching Moses and saying, this is not good. You need to get some help. Another thing you need to be careful of, don't be careful of who you get help from. Everybody cannot give you wise counsel. Hello? Just because they're alive and well don't mean they're the smartest things in the world. Just because they're a human being. And oh, Let me say this very slowly. Just because they attend the church with you, do not mean that they're gifted enough to give you wise counsel. Again, you need to pray and talk to God and ask God to show you who it is you can communicate with, who it is you can get counsel from. And God will not leave you alone. As you pray and ask God to help you, sometimes when you open the Word of God, the Scriptures reveal to you what it is you need to do. But sometimes God will put a lowly, should I say, lay person, don't have a single degree, but have all kind of life experiences and have a love for God out of sight, to come alongside and you wrestle with the problem and you get a conversation with them and they will reveal to you what it is God wants you to do and the way how you can do it in a way that's pleasing to God. Brothers and sisters, we're getting the education and the knowledge, but God have given people that we have come in contact with life experiences and abilities to assist us to do what he have called us to do. So make yourself receptive that when God is putting a burden on your heart, to receptive to who he put around you and asking God to give you the ability to discern who you can turn to and trust. My mentors taught me that as a preacher, I need to have preacher friends. And when I became a pastor, they changed that just a little tad and said, okay, you're a pastor now. You need to have pastor's friend. And I said, okay, why is he saying this? People who are going through like experiences sometimes can help you. And oh, by the way, know who are your prayer warriors in your sphere. There are some people who just pray for you just because they know that you're alive, constantly lifting you up, that you're not even aware that they're praying and asking God to bless you so you'll be successful. And the way the church grow and the leadership grow in the church is by you delegating your responsibility to those that God bring alongside of you. Jethro told Moses, look out among you and choose. And the first criteria was God-fearing people. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying a heathen can't tell you anything. They can. But I'm saying to you, if you're going to put somebody in responsibility and somebody who's going to lead God's people, it needs to be somebody who already loved the Lord. And if you get into New Testament, you find it said, don't let it be a novice, not just a beginner. Leading God's people is not an easy thing. Counseling God's people are not an easy thing. It is something that takes a lot of wisdom, and a lot of prayer, and a lot of faith and trust in God. So, done told you there'll be disputes. Done told you you need to learn to delegate. Wow. I guess the hard part of this sermon is one that we pastors have the most trouble with, is when to shut up and depart. If you look at the scriptures, you'll find that Jethro identified the problem. Told Moses that if he continued to do this, he'll wear himself out. Gave him a solution. Look out among the people and find some men who fear God. And he also said men who hate evil. Leaders in God's kingdom need to have a reputation not only among the saints, but also the heathens. They should know that you're a God-fearing person. And brothers and sisters, you have to fight and guard daily to ensure you don't let the outside world slip in and cause you to do something contrary to the Word of God. If when I first came to RTS, I asked you, what is marriage? you would have told me marriage is between one man and one woman. If I stand and ask you today, the world and redefine it. We as God watchmen must guard that and must keep God's word pure and clear. Preaching and teaching the word of God. You're not beating about over the head. You're not going to look for the fight. I promise you, it will find you. And when it comes, you're quiet and say, let me see. You asked me about marriage. When I looked in Genesis, it said God did this. And he's put one man, one woman. Well, I don't believe that. We're not discussing what you believe. I'm telling you what the word of God say. And oh, here it is. You can read it. You ain't got to be ugly. Just quietly share what thus said the Lord. So, learning that it's time to depart, and unfortunately I see how my glass is on and I can see there's 10 minutes to the hour, I need to wrap this thing up. How do you do that? Look at the last verse. The last verse said that in Jethro departed. Wow. Some of us going to travel home to families. Some of us can go to friend houses, Thanksgiving, a big meal. One of the things you need to learn how to do is how to be a good guest. A good guest know when to leave. As I'm standing here preaching this and looking at the clock, I know it's time for me to wind this up and say, okay, look. Jethro did what God had called him to do. He came alongside a man called by God. And he helped him do what God had called him to do. And as you read through this, you always see that even though he gave him the counsel, he said, unless God said, don't do it. Verify it. And if it pleased God, then you do this. Isn't it amazing that here it was a heathen came and talked to a man of God and told him about a system of government, a way to administer that is the standard throughout the world today. Stop and think about it. Look at our court system. You have the lower court, justice court, circuit court, appeal court, and the Supreme Court. Isn't that similar to what Jethro just told him to do? Over thousands, over hundreds, over 50, over 10. Brothers and sisters, I stand here and tell you, you can get wise counsel if you slow down, pray, and trust that God will put the right people in your path to assist you to do what he's called you to do. It is my prayer that none of us will settle to do just some good. Don't ever want somebody to come and say, you did a good job. That's nice. And that's okay sometimes. But you're striving to make your good your best. But most of all, you don't want your good just to become better and your best. Your ultimate goal is that your good will become God's best. And that's when you don't sold out completely to God. You have surrendered and God have used you in such a way that you have ministered to his people and carried them where he wants them to be. So it's my prayer as this season come around of Thanksgiving that you remember that your goal is to always give God your best. To always strive to be the best you can be with your children, with your spouse, with the job that God placed you in, with the community of believers he'll put you around. May God bless you. May he keep you. May his face ever shine upon you. Let us pray. Wow, God. Isn't it amazing how there's so many you have called and given us all different talents? Each one of God can make a big difference in your kingdom if we surrender and let your spirit lead and guide us. It is my prayer, God, that some way, somehow, that as we come to this season of Thanksgiving, that we, your children, require to be about doing what is pleasing in thy sight. We don't know which life we'll touch, which person we'll make the tremendous difference in, but you know. You have made divine appointments in our lives for us to come and share. So please, God, help us to touch those you'll put in our path. And Father God, there are some we would never say a word to, but let our walk and our talk be so powerful that they understand that it is you who is working through us. For us, in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen.